Hi, everyone. I'm Alex Cordry, and welcome to This Week at the Park. Well, it's an exciting episode today. We're in the indoor practice facility, and it's time to meet your panel. I'm joined with Redskins insider Rich Tandler, Ray Smith from sonofwashington.com. He's the founder and writer and head writer of Redskins.com, Brian Tinsman. Well, gentlemen, we begin with topic one. No surprise here, we're talking about the draft. So when you look at the Redskins draft class, who do you think will be a bright spot? Who do you see shining? Rich, we'll start with you.
I'll tell you what, the guy that I like was the second one they picked, Jordan Reed, the tight end out of Florida. He just seems to be the kind of guy that he's not going to be a true inline tight end. They're going to move him all over the field. They're going to have him in the slot. They'll split him out wide. They'll have him in motion. And he's a guy who, you know, anytime he gets his hands on the ball is a threat to make a big play. I think he's a good weapon for RG3. You know, he can move the ball a long way without having, you know, without the drop back and long throw. I think they can get the big play quickly and more of them, more frequently.
Ray?
Well, it's definitely interesting to see them get a playmaker or someone that has the potential to be a playmaker. I mean, we remember seeing Fred Davis get picked up. Sure. You know, and people were kind of scratching their heads when they drafted Fred Davis a couple of years ago. But I think that when you look at this team and the needs that they've had, guys like Philip Thomas and Bakari Rambo are really interesting to keep an eye on to see exactly how that's going to play out in the secondary, who's going to be there with Brandon, because I think we're pretty sure that Brandon's going to, you know, have the best shot of being a starter, and then kind of what happens from there. So I'm really interested to see what happens with those guys.
I like what you're thinking there, but along that same topic, I think David Amerson, their top pick, actually has the ability to shake up the secondary. He's a guy who brings some size, some definite speed to the secondary. He can play on the outside. If he shows that he can do that in the preseason, they can move D'Angelo Hall, they can move Josh Wilson inside, and both of those guys have the ability to possibly play nickel, possibly play safety. So those are guys to keep an eye on, and really Amerson is kind of your X factor. If he's ready to start, then he could force their hand on a lot of other positions.
Well, and Mike on Friday night was talking about in his press conference, he said, hey, you know, we believe that D'Angelo can play both safety positions. We've got a lot of really versatile guys in the secondary. A lot of them are very young, and there's a lot of competition that's going to be there, but you've got to be happy about the fact that they do have the ability to kind of shake things up.
Yeah, and I think, you know what this is, if you want to look at another aspect of it, a big opportunity for Raheem Morris to kind of get his way back up. You know, he came, was a head coach, 30th ranked pass defense last year, the secondary coach, not so hot. If you can get two of those three guys, or all three of them, up to speed playing solid NFL football, that'll be a big feather in his cap.
He had a pretty strong ear in the Redskins war room. Must have been. If you're taking 3 out of 7 of your picks for your position group, you're doing pretty well.
And everybody loves Raheem, it seems like, though. I mean, we keep getting this. All the players we talk to tell us all the time, how can you not be excited about playing a guy with the energy of Raheem Morris? And, you know, you
he's
see him in practice.
Coach.
Oh, absolutely. You see him in practice. He's the voice that you hear. He's chirping sometimes 4-letter words, sometimes whatever, but he gets the guys fired up.
But on paper, 30th ranked pass defense last year, he's got to move that up.
So the guys you've talked about, who do you see being an immediate starter? Brian, we'll start with you.
Well, I think that Jordan Reed certainly has the ability to factor in somewhere. I think David Amerson has the ability to factor in somewhere. I think they're really counting on Philip Thomas or Bakari Rambo being that guy to start at free safety. They don't have a true free safety on the roster in terms of veterans. You've got DeJuan Gomes, who has some experience. You've got Reed Dowdy, who has some experience. But you don't want those guys there. You know, you want them to be more special teams guys, more role players. I'll say Philip Thomas has to make the cut immediately and be the starter week one.
And you got to love the guy's hands, though. I mean, and when you look and you break down this draft, Shanahan was able to get some really playmaking ball hawks there for the secondary. You got Philip Thomas, who, you know, led the nation in interceptions last year, and then Amerson, who led the year before. You know, and you want to see that in the style defense, the ability to have these turnovers. I think Thomas, I've got to agree with you, is a guy that they've got to be looking at right now in May. You know, you think that he's a guy that probably has the best chance.
But in terms of immediate starter, I really don't see any of them being immediate starters. I think you'll see Thomas and Rambo both being rotated in. My guess is, if I had to guess right now, you've got Reed Dowdy at free safety against the Eagles week one with maybe, you know, alongside Brandon Merriweather, with one of those two guys moving in, maybe both of them as the year goes on, and definitely 2014, I think you've got Rambo and Thomas as your starting safeties.
Well, my question off that, too, though, I mean, whether they're starting or not, what's that playtime split going to be? I mean, we saw last year Cooley got a start. he didn't play very much, but he got a start. So, right. You know, what is that? You know, do you think that clearly the camp battles are going to be huge for that?
Well, I remember last year when asking Hazlitt about mm-hmm. Jordan Pugh, Reed Dowdy, and Gomes playing safety, he says, hey, he'd rather have one guy in there.
Okay.
He doesn't, you know, they rotated a lot last year out of necessity, not because that's the way they yeah. like to do
right.
it.
Right, I don't think a rotation is necessarily speaking very highly of any of the individuals. So I think you're right there. They want to find their guy.
If you have three free safeties, you don't have any three
exactly.
free safeties.
So switching gears to topic two, let's give an RG3 update. You guys saw the draft day party, big success, 25,000 fans were there, and everybody saw RG3 jumping up and down, motivating the fans. Does it change your perspective about week one, Ray?
I mean, it doesn't really change my perspective because every time we've seen him over the last couple months, he's been moving pretty well. And again, I was shocked to see him moving around so well at the awards ceremony there at the Super Bowl weekend. It was that to me was step one. He's not on crutches. He's walking around. He's moving pretty good. You know, it's showmanship. You know, sure. When you get a guy that's a first-round pick, that's second pick overall, and he's the face of not only this organization, but he's becoming the face of the NFL. I mean, he's in every commercial you can see. You don't want him to walk out or wheelchair out or crutch out in front of the fans. You want to put on a show, give people hope, and I think that's what he did on Saturday.
I think, you know, I don't really want to see him doing jumping jacks and stuff. I want to see him – it's when he plants that right yeah. foot and cuts that's really exactly. – you know, that's the key moment, not – you know, not jumping up and down on a stage. It's being out here on the field, plant that right foot, cut, then he's okay. Until that happens, like Ray said, it's a show.
It's a show.
Right. Yeah. And going off of that, it's not the straight line speed. It's not the jumping up and down. It's not the any one motion, as Rich said. It's can he take a hit? Can he cut? Can he do the things that made him a dynamic playmaker? You know, we're not racing 40 yards in a straight line on the football field. He has to be able to take the damage that he was going to take out there and also to make the plays that he was going to play.
Yeah, and a lot of it's mental.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of it is not only that structure, the
sure.
knee down here, it's up here. And, you know, unfortunately, fortunately, he's been through this before.
Right.
So I think he'll know when it feels right and when he's ready to do it. But, you know, the one thing that these guys, anybody who gets an ACL doesn't want is to go plant, make that first cut, and boom, 3 months of progress are down the drain. You're
sure.
you're starting again.
I mean, there's got to be some sort of fear factor there, though. I mean, he's been through it before,
yeah.
and you could argue that makes it worse this time around because he knows, you know, what if it
yeah.
doesn't feel quite the same way that it did feel last time, you know? So, I don't know. It's kind of a touchy situation. You want to see him at his best, but that mental thing is going to be a huge block.
Talking injuries, it looks like Brandon Merriweather he's on schedule. He should be returning for camp. What kind of impact will he make when he comes back, Rich?
Well, if it's anything like we saw in that that half game plus we saw him against the Eagles, it'll be pretty good. I think, you know, we saw it when in 2010, first eight games of the season, we saw LaRon Landry kind of playing this strong safety position
mm-hmm.
the way this defense was, you know, the way it was drawn
yeah.
up on the board in this defense. And that's what Merriweather was doing when we saw him. So if he's back, if he's, you know, if he can move around, if he can, you know, if he's back, you know, again, mentally also and physically, I think he can have a solid impact on the defense, what they were missing last year at the position.
When you double that back against the rookies that we just talked about,
sure.
too, I mean, Brandon's going to give you a lot of versatility. If he can continue to play at that level that he did during those 30 however many snaps it was against Philadelphia, you've got to feel a lot better about putting a guy like Philip Thomas on the field and giving him the opportunity because you think you've got a guy that can be an eraser if he has to back at safety. So I think that Brandon's impact is going to be very important to all of these rookie guys that have just been brought in.
And he is an enforcer over the middle, too. You know, he's a guy that can come up and play against the run. He's big enough to do that. He's bigger than a lot of the other safeties that they have on the roster. So that's why, you know, they talk about the free safety and strong safety split is not that big of a deal. But he plays the role that can be kind of that extra linebacker if need be. But he also has great hands. You know, we saw him, you know, bat a couple passes and intercept a ball against the Eagles in those 37 plays that he had. So, you know, he's critical for the secondary.
Well, when we return, coming up, we've been seeing the rookies start entering here at Redskins Park. They're getting ready for rookie minicamp. That's coming up for Topic 3. Stay with us on This Week at the Park.
Kenny Chesney's No Shoes Nation Tour. Starring Kenny Chesney. and Eric Church. Eli Young Band. And introducing Casey Musgraves. Saturday, May 25th at FedEx Field. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 800-745-3000. Presented by Washington Redskins.
Oh, they're not rock stars. They're just the best pharmacists around. You trust us to be your grocery store. Trust us to be your pharmacy. Harris Teeter.
Yo, we just scored. Where are you, man?
Hey, Greg. I had to sell my seats because I got this thing that came up.
Hey, Doug.
We bought your seats, Doug.
Yay. Yay.
Yeah, Greg Jennings is in our lap.
I wish Greg Jennings was in my lap.
Doug, I told you we just scored. Why aren't you smiling?
I am smiling.
Show it to me. There's a big Dougie smile. That's my guy.
Mm. Yeah, KFC.
Original recipe.
Original recipe?
Mm.
Dad, I think you ate the bones.
I did what?
You ate the bones.
I ate the bones? I ate the bones? I ate the bones?
KFC Original Recipe, now available without the bone. Freshly prepared white or dark meat chicken, boneless and skinless. Get four delicious, mouth-watering pieces in your next 10-piece mixed bucket for $14.99. Today tastes so good.
Kenny Chesney's No Shoes Nation Tour. Starring Kenny Chesney. Eric Church, Eli Young Band, and introducing Casey Musgraves, Saturday, May 25th at FedEx Field. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 800-745-3000. Presented by Washington Redskins.
Welcome back to This Week at the Park. I'm Alex Cordry. Well, we pick up at topic three, rookie minicamp. Guys, the rookies are already starting to be here at Redskins Park. We've seen them coming in. They're excited, nervous. What are you looking most forward to seeing from this rookie minicamp? Rich?
You know, it's always fun. You know, we know who you got the seven draft picks out there, but there's always somebody who you haven't heard of before, who makes a few great catches, who picks off a couple of passes, and then, you know, that person then becomes a fan favorite. We'll write about it in the media, talk about it, and then, you know, in training camp, maybe the guy does the same thing, and that's everybody's favorite underdog pick.
Man crush from yep. On, yeah.
And it's finding it's finding that guy and being the one to lead the charge for him that I'm looking forward to on Sunday.
Two guys that you should keep an eye on. One is Xavier Nixon, who's a guy who played at Florida, and he's a guy that a lot of people had on their draft boards, a lot of people thought could be drafted in the later rounds. You know, the Redskins really didn't address the offensive line. He's a guy who has the opportunity to hang around, I think, because, you know, he did have a pretty successful career at Florida, and now I think he has the opportunity to compete at that right tackle position. Another one is our old friend Lance Lewis, who was a guy that some members of the media developed a crush on last year. He's one of the few retreads that's going to be around again this year. He didn't make it out of training camp last year, but, you know, he still falls under that, you know, ability to be a rookie or first-year player. He's back in the building. He knows the playbook, and he could be an impact at wide receiver, at least to make it into training camp.
You always got to like guys that get to have that second opportunity. I mean, we talked to Aldrick Robinson last mm-hmm. year, and he went through the whole rookie camp process again and had the benefit of that. And clearly we saw it pay dividends during the season. Another year to sure. get everything under his belt. It's interesting. I really am also interested to see some of these running backs that got brought in during the draft. I think that there is a select few members of Redskins Nation who are pulling their hair out. I don't know how many times I've seen on Twitter over the last couple of days, they're not going to cut or trade Alfred Morris, are they? I don't think that Alfred is in any trouble, but it's interesting to see what they've done. Can they finally have a change of pace back for Alfred? Does Alfred not have to take the 40-carry-a-game beating that he had to take last year and kind of extend his career a little bit?
Yeah, I think, you know, also, it, you know, it's a no contact, it's a helmets and shorts thing. Sure. So, you know, running backs, Mike Shanahan has said, in which is for this draft is especially telling, because he always says safeties and running backs are the two guys it's hard to judge without pads on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, you know, two safeties, two running backs drafted. So it'll be a while before we really find out about them. But I believe Thompson's going to be sidelined, though, for this. Mm-hmm. He'll be a spectator.
Right.
On his ACL, he'll be ready for training camp. But you know, the running backs, you know, it's hard to tell about an offensive line too.
Right.
But you know, any of them. But he's,
and another guy that I'm looking forward to is whoever it is that Mike Shanahan is going to name the starter out of this rookie minicamp, because that's what happened last year with Robert Griffin III. Right. It's going to happen again this year.
We're expecting that. That's right.
Yes, absolutely. We're all waiting around with bated breath. So.
So when you look at the Redskins roster, what position does Washington have the most depth at, Rich?
You know, I think they have good depth at quarterback. I mean, you know,
really?
Kirk
Cousins.
Yeah.
That's the easy one. Let's get that out of the way.
Okay.
Strength in numbers, at least.
I got first, okay? So I'll get the easy one. I think they have their solid quarterback. And whoever winds up at running back, you know, behind Alfred Morris, I think, you know, whether it's some combination, you know, you kind of figure Thompson and Helu are in competition for a spot. Royster and Jameis are in a competition for a spot. I think whoever comes out of that, I think they'll have pretty good depth behind Alfred Morris, and in addition to is the change of pace for Alfred Morris.
It's nice to actually be able to feel pretty good about the wide receiver group, because for a lot of years we weren't able to feel that great. And I'm interested to see kind of how that shakes out. But the depth there is really solid. I would love to see Leonard Hankerson finally in his third year make that step, you know, and go from being, okay, we're pretty solid and we can make some spectacular catches and we can make some big plays, to consistently doing all the things right. And I think that if Leonard can make that next step, and this is a very, very deep wide receiver group. I mean, Aldrick Robinson, who can be that burner, he's what, fourth, fifth on the depth chart?
They were the only team in the league last year that had four 500-yard receivers on the roster.
That's
so
pretty incredible.
No big guy, no guy with a real big season. But you add those up, that's 2,000-yard receivers on your roster. That's doing pretty good.
That's the plan, though, right, Brian? I mean, that's kind of the plan, to spread the ball.
Of course, of course.
Stepping on your feet. But.
No, but the other thing is that, you know, I think Jordan Reed plays a role in that receiver
core
as well, because he's not really going to be that Logan Paulson lumberjack tight end.
No.
He's going to be a guy that they're going to split out. They're going to keep him in the backfield. They're going to move him around a lot. And really, while he may be listed under the tight end numbers at the end of the season, he's a guy that they're going to use as a physical receiver.
Yeah, I'm thinking they could go. They had six wide receivers on the roster last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could go five and then four tight ends instead of six and three. Yeah.
Now the position that I think has the most depth on the team, and not because I disagree with you guys at quarterback or receiver, but I really think that outside linebacker has the fewest questions. You know, you have between them Brian Arakpo. We've seen him working out around the facility. Obviously, we're not positive until he gets out there and plays for, you know, a stretch of games. Is that Peck healthy? Are we going to have a recurrence of the same problem? You know, he injured it in 2011, again in 2012. Can he be healthy in 2013? But if so, he brings two Pro Bowls back to the unit. He brings, you know, he matches up with Ryan Kerrigan, who had to figure it out without him last year. You know, Ryan Kerrigan grew tremendously as a player into a Pro Bowl player last season. Not only that, you return the guy he played with the most, Rob Jackson, last season. I mean, who knew about Rob going into the season? He's a ball hawk at outside linebacker, and it's not very often that you get to say that. So he's a guy that's going to be around. You have Darrell Tapp. You add him to the mix. Then you draft a guy like Brandon Jenkins, who was at one time considered a possible first or second round prospect. And all of a sudden, you have a very talented group. There aren't any scrubs or retreads in this group anymore. And all of these guys are really going to have to play well to make the team and to have an impact, get playing time in 2013.
But there are very real questions.
I mean,
we've got a rack post peck, which you hinted at, and, you know, Jenkins has had some injury stuff as well, too.
Absolutely.
So, and then you've got also Rob Jackson's going to miss a couple of games this year. So while there is a nice versatility, and I think that when you compare Rob to Brian, their different skill set makes that a very interesting position, depending on who's in on a given formation. But the questions, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, can you call a group deep that you've got two guys that have serious injury questions, and then, you know, you're already going to have one that has four missed games.
Mm-hmm.
Topic five, our favorite topic. It's open forum. This is where you guys can say whatever you want to say. Rich, do you want to kick things off?
Sure. Yeah, I really think that, you know, this is a team is that won the NFC East last year. I think that, looking at the draft, just the kind of the overall theme was risk-reward. You know, they took some guys who were injured in Thompson, Brandon Jenkins were hurt last year. Took some guys, Bakari Rambo, some off field issues there. Amerson, had a real nice 2011 and not so hot 2012. Trying to get the upside out of him. So I think what we saw was, that they were going through. They were getting good value, guys that dropped, maybe were drafted a little bit lower than their talent might indicate. And that, to me, is a sign of a team that is, kind of at that door. 10-win teams, yes, every once in a while. I mean, a couple of years ago, the Giants won the Super Bowl after winning 9 games during the season. But, you want to be a team that wins 12, 13 games, gets a bye, gets home field in the playoffs. If they're going to go to that level, they need guys like Thomas, like Amerson, like Rambo, like Thompson to come through and be big players for him. I think that's what he was going for. Again, all 7 of these draft choices are not, it's great to talk about them now. They're not all going to make it.
Yeah.
Some of them, some of them will flame out. Some of them will be quote-unquote busts. But I think if he can hit on a few of about 500, I think this will be a much better team coming out of this draft than it was going into it.
While risk-reward was definitely a theme this week, breaking down the post-draft, I think that the depth of this roster is piggybacking off of that humongous. We have an organization that's built a roster that is young and deep at a multitude of positions. I mean, we just talked about 3 positions. If we'd had 6 more guys here, mm-hmm. we probably would have had 6 different positions that people chose that there's a legitimate depth. And being able to kind of fight off that and the culture that Shanahan has built here to enable these guys. I mean, 5 years ago, would you have said, hey, we got a 6th-round pick that we think could be a starter? That has a possibility to be a starter? And legitimately, we have one. And I think that's because of the depth and the competition is really going to allow, as they say, the cream to rise to the top. And I'm really excited to see that get started this weekend at rookie camp. And though there's no pads, it's kind of a glorified walkthrough, it's still going to be nice to see how these guys approach it. Who's serious? I want to see, is Philip Thomas walking in here and expecting something to be handed to him, even though he's a later-round pick? Or is he going to walk in and be ready to put the work in?
We'll see. And the topic that we touched on it earlier, but the running backs is really an interesting group. I'm going to come out and say it. Alfred Morris is a stud. He is the guy. I'm not breaking any news with that.
Breaking news. Alfred Morris is a stud.
This is his job, though, and I don't think that either of these guys were brought in even as competition necessarily, even though, they bring an extra element. Maybe it's a bruising running style or really a fast playmaker. That can run the option with Robert. But, I think that Alfred Morris is still your meat and potatoes guy. He has enough speed to get outside. He's definitely a between-the-tackles runner. And he's already shown that he can do it. Mike Shanahan may have umpteen thousand-yard backs in his history, but you don't lose you don't have the job taken away from you. You have to lose the job in order for him to turn to somebody else. So I think that Alfred Morris in his sophomore season, you have to remember, he was coming out of the Sun Belt Conference. Going from that to the NFC East is a bit of a jump, and he made it seamlessly. I really think he's going to improve this year. He may not break 1,600 yards, but he's a guy who, can benefit from the extra bodies in the backfield, but is really, he's still the guy. So anyone who's worried about the running backs that were taken late in the draft, those are complimentary guys. They're not going to take his job.
All right, gentlemen, great stuff. We got to wrap things up. But for Brian Tinsman from Redskins.com, Ray Smith from SonOfWashington.com, and Rich Tandler with CSN Washington, I'm Alex Cordry, and that's This Week at the Park.